sister, brother.
I kind of like you.
You started, brother? I like to see these instruments that are young kids. I pick on them, but they're the greatest kids. Yeah, my God, would you study, brother? Sure. My God is real. It's really my soul. For I have one. His love for me. God, we're just standing here, Lord. Lord, thank you for being so real. Wash us and clean our souls, God, from sin. Lord, one day we met you, Lord, at Calvary. Lord, thank you this morning for your spirit, your blessing. Help us, Lord, when we leave from here to be one step closer to you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. Amen. You know God is real. Am I right? He's not an intellectual God, and we learn all the time. You know. One time, a man asked me. He says, "Go out to all the world and preach the gospel." He said, "What does it mean? Does it mean?" I said, "Well, let me read." So I read my little Bible. And I says, there's a word there who means mahitebo. He says, what that means? I says, make students like you are. The University of Jesus Christ have no graduates. Do you know that? We learn every day. Am I right? We make other students to Jesus and we keep on learning. And the more you learn, the more you need to learn. Because you are exposed to how little you know. Am I right? 10 years ago, you knew everything. Now you study more. And you say, hey, and I'm so glad that's not by knowing, but it's by His grace. Amen. Am I right? The grace of God. I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. The little boy said to me, 45 minutes you got. I already had my sermon. And I like, I don't know who did it, but I like this. The children's story, I like them. You know, there's something about the children that if you watch them, you say, so a life there that's innocent and go on until they fall into the world and become a mess. Am I right? Little boy asked me, said to me, how come you carry two Bibles? I said, I need more than you do. I need two. You know, the more you need, the more Bibles you get. But I'm so thankful to the Lord about His presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, each one of us have a different ministry. There's ministry evangelistic out of this. But, you know, I always look this. I always look a person after they leave the service instead of when they're in the service. That's what I care. Because you know the rain can fall on the just and the unjust. All of us who can rejoice, have a great time. But I like to see that soul, that brother, that sister, when they leave from here, if there's something in their souls that start ringing and bring them closer to Jesus. You know, if when the door closes behind their house and they're lonely and pressed and depressed, if they can find some help from what they heard, that's what counts, you know that? That's what counts. The rest of it is good to lean one on another, you know, something like that. But you cannot do that forever because people are going to fail you. It's one that doesn't fail, that's God. You can go to Him. The greatest privileges we take Him for granted. Think of it, to have a Jehovah that we worship, that He's not asleep. You can get up 2 o'clock in the morning and kneel down, He's right there. 3 o'clock, He's there. Am I right? You drive, He's there. So things like that, we take Him for privilege, for granted, but it's not for granted. It's what God has done for us. I know we have a baptism service, and I'll try to tell the little boy I'll behave to go 45 minutes. Or 35 minutes, we just have 2 little pages, 3 pages. That's all we got, boy. So we'll see where we go from there. Yesterday, I embarrassed one of the young ladies that she ate half of my dessert. She said to me, "You embarrass me." I said, "If you had a chance, you'll eat more." But that's what God does. You know, when you speak about the baptism service, there's something in the scriptures that we can look for a minute. And all of us, we know that verse. And sometimes I don't mention what I'm reading because everybody flips his Bible, and by the time we get through, nobody finds it. And yesterday I asked how many don't have their Bibles, going to see the Gideons, and because they'll give you a free Bible down there. But you know something? Other day of Pentecost, they preached the power of God. And if you look at the life of Peter, he was an up and down man. You know that? You know, he denied the Lord. He did. But Peter had a secret. And I said, why Peter was selected to preach Pentecost? Why? You know, it's a big question. Am I right? Why not somebody else? Wouldn't? His record is not that clean. He failed the Lord. But Peter had a secret, which is repentance. Repentance is a powerful word. And if we ever learn it, we'll go way closer to God. So on the day of Pentecost, and Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And Brother Cyril said, we have baptism service, and it's one of the ordinances. And I said, I want to speak a little about repentance. It's a beautiful word, isn't it? Do you know that you got saved because you repented? That's the first step. You don't politic with God. You don't negotiate anything. The only thing you acknowledge is that you're a sinner, and then He takes over from there. But when you look at repentance, the first thing you see, we are so carnal minded that we say that I'm going to repent. But you know, you cannot repent unless God gives you repentance. I remember one of the instances, a young man, Brother Gordon, picked him up from the skid row, you know, drunk, alcoholic, and so on. So Gordon took him to his place and fed him and bought him his new clothes. Brought him to the prayer meeting, and we're sitting there in the prayer meeting that night, and we pray, and he prayed the sinner's prayer, and then Brother Gordon says, "Repent, repent," we're screaming to him, and the boy just couldn't do anything, you know. No matter how much you go to scream somebody to repent, unless God gives it, there's no way to repent. But you know, if we learn the blessings of repentance, I think they will outweigh everything else. And it will outweigh the cost of repentance if we knew the blessings of repentance. Repentance holds many homes to be broken. You know that? Repentance holds many Christians from being tormented by Satan. Repentance caused many people from just crossing the river in the other side. And I like to, probably very simple this morning, and I enjoy the Word of God, to give you something probably you might like to think about that will help you a little bit in life, and probably will talk about repentance and baptism. Now, you cannot be baptized without repenting, you know that? Because baptism is an outward confession of an inward work. And if the work is not done inside, you take a bath outside. That's a substitution, am I right? And if there's a contradiction in your heart about baptism, then you see it's better for you to say, Lord, show me what to do before you do anything. Because it's serious. I remember when our first time in 61, I went to the meeting that Brother Branham was preaching, and I knew always that the Scripture is the infallible Word of God. Amen. And Brother Branham was preaching and so on, and I got to know some people that traveled with Brother Branham that first night, and then they asked me to go out and eat with them, and they said to me, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? I said, no. He said, we'll baptize you tonight at the bathtub. I said, so baptize you in Jesus' name. I said, what about what Jesus said? Oh, he says, don't look at that. You see, you got to look at it. You cannot step and do an activity that you know there's another activity that you have a question in your heart. Because the devil is going to beat you up. It's better to wait on the Lord, says Lord. And when you feel the Spirit of the Lord wants you to be baptized like the people want to be baptized today, it's you should do it right away. That's the right way. Am I right? And remember, you'll never be able to analyze and figure out everything about repentance and also baptism. The devil will keep you out of it if he can. So you got to make the decision. But when we walk in life, we have certain privileges that we abuse them instead of be thankful for it. And the Apostle Paul, of course, that talking about this, and he says, the judgment is sure. And he says, and thinkest thou this of man that judges them which do such things and does the same? And thou shalt escape the judgment of God, or despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. One time I was dealing with a very tough case. There was a minister was involved with a young lady. The young lady said to me, Brother David, I repented before God and he forgave me, but how come he doesn't repent? I said, because he doesn't have it. He said, minister? I said, absolutely. Unless God gives him repentance, how he can repent? Am I right? And you see, if the spirit of repentance is in you and in me, we should be dancing in the spirit. Because if repentance is working in you, it's an answer to repentance somewhere. You see, God doesn't give you repentance without providing the answer of that repentance. The deep calls to the deep. Whereas a calling must be a response. What about if God tells you repent and has nothing to offer you? What good will do to you the repentance? So now God here says this, despises the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering. Know not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's not you that lead yourself to repentance, but it's the love of God. The goodness of God that leads you to repentance. And here you have the word or the oar, who means like a blind man is led by a dog. The dog says, stop, it's a red light, he stops. And so often, sometimes we bounce around, we do this, we fuss, we argue, we criticize, we do this and that. And God wants to teach us one word, repentance, but we don't want to do it. Do you know that it's an exercise to learn repentance? Because quite often our prayers go nowhere because we haven't repented. That's not only for the sinner, that's for the Christian. It would be a beautiful thing to have your soul clean completely and go to God and says, Lord, thank you today. Not with self-righteousness, but because somehow God dealt with you in repentance and you listened. Now, that repentance that God gives you, some people are confused about that repentance. I'm just making a symbol. I'm looking at the little boy. And what happens, some people are so confused with that repentance, they think because they came down to the altar and they cry a little bit and they had thought about their mother-in-law, their girlfriend, their boyfriend that did it. You know, the extent of tears is not necessary that you have repentance. Esau had that and he couldn't find repentance. It's a relation with God. And if you check yourself, although you don't realize what you're doing, repentance is a restoration. Sometimes when we do something wrong, the first thing we do, we negotiate, try to politic it or give it time and then everything's okay. It's not okay. That spirit lays in there. If a spirit is not repentant to leave you, he'll get you later. No matter what you're going to do, he's looking for you. And so often we see sometimes that if it's a tension somewhere between you and God, between you and the fellow man, between you and the job, what really happens, it develops a chronic disease. I'm not saying, I say chronic because it takes a long time to develop in it. That chronic disease stays there and eats you up, and eventually, because you had lunch with somebody, you thought everything is okay now. But it's not okay. Unless God forgives it, the devil is looking for it. He's going to get you later. But when God gives you repentance, remember you are the most blessed person. To me, if you ask me, if you take one word today from the scripture for this morning's sermon, what would you like to have? I'll say I'll take repentance. Do you know why? You say, well, I'll take the name of Jesus. You cannot go there without repentance. But if he gives me repentance, he provides the sacrifice for me and I get there. You see what I'm talking about? Repentance is a very important step that you do. And now we start looking at repentance, and I'm just trying to put some things this morning together. And the more I start looking at repentance, it reminds me that he says, I rejoice not that you were made sorry, Paul says to the Corinthians. I don't want you, he says, because you suffer, I don't want you to think that I'm rejoicing for your suffering. I'm not sarcastic, Paul says. But also he says this, he says, but you sorrow to repentance, for he says, you were made sorry after a godly manner that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, but not to be repentant by the sorrow of the world worketh death. Godly sorrow. You know, when we walk in life and we have a revelation of who we are, you don't have to know which is your right hand, which is your left hand. When God starts dealing with you and His Spirit reveals who you are, although you cannot define it, it tears you apart. Now I tell you what, many people can figure out everything, and I know the scripture describes certain things, but when I kneel down and I raise my hands and say, if there's a God, I want to know it, and God saved me, I don't know what happened in me, but I know I wasn't the way I used to be. So I don't have to figure out God. But it was something that in my soul that I was crying to God, thank you, Lord, forgive me and help me. And I was going on, and I didn't know what I was going on. But you see, the godly sorrow was in me, working that repentance to salvation. Amen. Am I right?
Yes.
Because you see, you say the scripture teaches salvation, and I believe that through the blood and so on, all the way down. But you see, I cannot go in every little corner of my soul and say, now, you said this, yeah, let's pull it out for right now and repent for that. Because I cannot pull it out. If God has left up to me to repent, I wouldn't know what to repent for. Because my nature is sinful, I'm a sinner, and I don't know what to repent for. Amen. I'm like a beast. Do you know that? When you're a sinner, you don't even know what you are. And how you can repent when there's no nature in you to make you to repent? Anything you do is evil. If it's an apple tree, produces apples. If it's an orange tree, produces oranges. If it's a sinner, produces sin. That's it. So God has to come in and do something for me to bring me to that state and say, now, godly sorrow, not my sorrow, but it's godly sorrow, the sorrow of God, how God looks at me as a sinner, comes to me, and I sit down at the altar and I weep and I cry before God, says, Lord, help me, help me. And I don't even know what I'm doing, but He's doing it in me. Don't try to figure out God, because you won't be able to. When God is dealing with you a little bit and He says, now, you have to do this right, do it. And the reward is great. The greatest joy that I ever had in my life was not when I cry at the altar, friends, but when I went to somebody and says, forgive me. It's something there. You know what I'm saying? But we're confused between the sorrow of the world. Now, when God gives you repentance, He's not like somebody He's going to go and get it back from you. Why He doesn't get it back? Because the Word of God says, He says, to salvation, not to be repented. And that word, not to be repented, is the word ametameliton. Melos is the future. Ametameliton, no future is going to change it. So I'm thankful to God that when He gives you repentance, God says, well, probably I shouldn't give it to Him. Or I'll take it back. God gives it to you, it's yours. And I love that. You know? It's a guarantee.
Praise God.
God doesn't give it to you to save you and then takes it back. No, no. When God gives you repentance and saves you, it's a metameliton, melos, the future. No future is going to change what God has done for you. So it's a guarantee. Am I right?
Amen.
You know? You go to a brother and says, brother, forgive me. Huh, get out of here. Don't worry about that. Because you repented. God is forgiving you and not that brother. If that brother doesn't forgive you, he goes to prison for good. Do you know that? You'll be cast into prison. You will never come out until you pay the uttermost. And sometimes you are in prison and we don't want to get out to pay the uttermost. That's serious, isn't it? That's more than shouting and clapping your hands. That's to go back home and kneel down and say, Lord Jesus, what is wrong with me? We might hide ourselves behind the four walls. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit deals with us no matter where we are. And now He said, now when God, He says, Paul says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented. With other words, when God sit dealing with me, you say, I got saved 50 years ago. Paul says, with fear and trembling, work my salvation when? Daily. Some people got saved 20 years ago. They are dead today. They don't even know it. But it's a fear and trembling every day to work your salvation.
Amen.
Salvation is an experience daily. Too bad sometimes that we think the cross was way back there when we knelt down and got saved, and we don't see ourselves daily upon that. Experience daily. Too bad sometimes that we think the cross was way back there when we knelt down and got saved, and we don't see ourselves daily upon that cross be crucified with Christ. It's a daily experience, daily walk. We have all kinds of substitutes. I love this, I have done this, and I do this works. You know, works takes you nowhere. It's the works of the Holy Spirit through you that goes somewhere.
Amen.
So now God says, now listen, I want to make a distinction right here. And the distinction is this. He says, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So when you young lady come over at the altar and cry for your boyfriend, you go nowhere. Because that's the sorrow of the world.
When circumstances come back and we don't feel good because we lost our car, because the house got burned, because this and that, we go and cry for a while, Lord Jesus, that's sorrow of the world. But the godly sorrow deals with sin. Am I right? There's only one thing can keep you from going to heaven, that's sin. If you have a home or you don't have a home, if you sleep in a blanket out there, whatever you are, you can go to heaven. But with sin, you cannot go to heaven. That's godly sorrow. The great Jehovah was sleeping in the streets. He says the foxes have holes. So we try to clear our minds now. And our minds, we look at our minds and we say, now, am I really going to God because of sin or because I don't have my way? You know, many people go to God and cry because they don't have their way. Things are not going the way that they feel like. And then God deals with them and he says, that's why I want you to be, and he beats you worse. And then you have more prayer requests. And he said, the devil is fighting me. God is permitting him to lead you to repentance.
Amen.
Repentance is a beautiful word. But too bad we have been so starchy and we're afraid to say, forgive me, Jesus. Am I right? Wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if there was repentance in my heart and your heart today, and there was nothing between us and the Lord, and to worship God?
Yes, brother. Amen.
How are we going to go to heaven? You know what scares me? A statement that Brother Branham made. He says, what you are, that's what's going to get in the new body. And I'm afraid sometimes to look what I am. We think that the new body is going to change you. No, it's not going to change you. It's going to change the mortal to immortal. But what you are, if you're not saved, you can't get in there. Sin cannot get in that immortal because you corrupted. Or say by grace, I know that, but grace never becomes disgrace. There's a difference there. Am I right? You know? So often we say that people are bound ready for heaven. Praise God, I'm the bride and so on. I was reading the life of a great man, Savonarola. Savonarola was the platform of Luther at the time of Reformation. Savonarola preached in Venice. It was a big revival. The Spirit of the Lord was falling down. The bars closed. And the people were in the square praising God. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving so much that Savonarola assigned some of these old carts with the wheels. And he went to every street and he says, now any instrument that ever played for the devil before or any artwork that exposes the human body, bring it here, we're going to burn it. It's a masterpiece of artwork. You know how Italy is. They were throwing their instruments there that they play for drinking and parties and so on. They were piled in there and the people pour their customs there. And what happened? Savonarola took it to the square in Venice and light a match there and burned the whole thing. It's now all the saints, he says, who are going to get dressed like Christians and go down and sing the songs of Zion. Venice was shaken. Venice knew God, and today if you go to Florence, you find out at that square close to the Florentian Library, a little square about that thing, that says Savonarola died. The Pope got upset about it. He said to him, come down, I want to see you. Because he was a priest. He said to him, thus saith the Lord, before December you're going to die. And the Pope did. Savonarola had the word of the Lord. The Pope sent another thing. He said, I have some gifts for you. He says, I remember that statement. He says, the only gift that I want from you is the blood shed for the rest of the martyrs for me to do the same thing. For us today, we're in the bride. I'm scared. Read the life of the saints, what they went through. Read Michael Servetus when he stood against Calvin and so on, that they killed a man for still for one thing. He says, I see one God in three offices instead of three persons.
Hallelujah.
And that's why they killed him, you know that?
Yeah.
They put him alive. And the commentary says, he never changed his attitude. He had the love of God, neither his doctrine. Man went on. They burned him alive. But when we start seeing, we say, now, we are this, we are this. Let's stop and go down there. He says, what are we? Nothing but a bunch of murmurers like Israel. And they didn't make it. Scare you. You know what I mean? The coming of the Lord is not a picnic, friends. It scares me. Scares me. It's good to say, have this and this, or this who got the message. I believe in the message. I do everything that I can for the message. But I'm just concerned about, does the life of the word of the message see me? That's what I'm concerned about. Let's quit playing religion and let's get with it. So now repentance, we see of the world, to feel sorry for yourself, to do this and that, and I appreciate prayer requests. People seek to be prayed for, but I'm wondering sometimes how many of our prayer requests go up to the throne of grace because of self instead of repentance. I want this. You know that? I want that. We're not rugged Christians. Christians that know how to fight Satan and stand day and night praying all night. God keep us. God help us. So now God gives us repentance. He generates it. You know what you and I should do? Nourish it. You have a spark of repentance. Dance in the Spirit. You know that? Dance in the Spirit because God is dealing with you. If you don't have it, just say, Lord, please help me. But when repentance comes, don't push it away. Repentance is a restoration. And remember, when God gives you that repentance, it's a metamelito. No future is going to change it because God has finished the work of Calvary already. And when you repent before Him, then everything is settled. You know that? And then we get to the world. The world is pressing us. The devil is pressing us. And then we come and fight each other. I'm just wondering if we can just call back to Jehovah. He says, Lord, even if I am right, is it possible to repent for my spirit only? Did you ever think of that? You know, it would be heaven, this message. We went up to the skies to figure out everything's going to happen to the angels and things like that and so on all the way up there. And we don't know the basics to lead a soul to Calvary and repent before Jesus. I'm going back to the basics. You understand? I'm going back to the basics. I'm concerned about me and you when we're alone with God. Do we really have that communion, or do we have to expect to lean on each other? For that, we're supposed to bring Jesus with us instead of expecting to take Jesus from here or there. It takes quite often 30 minutes to an hour to bring a person in the environment of worship, and by that time, church is dismissed. Do you know that? We're not ready. Sunday morning, fuss with the wife, fuss with the husband, fuss with the kids, fuss with that. By the time we're here, praise the Lord, now we're going to sing, amazing, what amazing grace. You were in a fight 10 minutes ago. That's amazing disgrace. Am I right? Friends, the only difference, I'm telling the truth. I'm saying to cherish repentance. I'm saying to stop your car, says John, forgive me. Betty, forgive me. We'll go to meet God. And the word of God is going to be preached, and we're guilty. Let's straight things up before we get through these doors. That's what I'm saying. Am I right?
Amen.
And you know, we'll go farther like that. The scripture says, don't let the sun go down without doing that. But you know, young fellow, young girl, young and old, and all of you, sometimes we deceive ourselves. You know that? The greatest deceiver you have, like I said, it's you. Don't blame anybody else. But they deceive me.
Because you are deceivable material. Right? We're deceived because of our ways. Solomon, with all the wives and all the headaches that he had, he wrote some wise things. He said this. And so, he said, I saw the wicked buried, and had come and gone from the place of the holy. Continues. And they were forgotten in the city where they had done so. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. Because you get by of what you do today, you think it's okay because God didn't strike you dead. But remember, that's where the abuse of long-suffering of God, and that's where it sends you straight to hell and you don't even know it. Listen to this again. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. You think because God didn't strike you dead? Because you did this, you did that, you spoke like that, you said this, you said this? What about the gossip of the telephone? Oh, I hang up, I do the same thing tomorrow. And you get used to it. Get used to that spirit. Am I right?
Yes, true.
Get used to that spirit. And then he says that judgment of an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because the judgment doesn't strike you dead, your heart is full to keep on doing it. And keep on doing it. And keep on doing it instead of going to repentance and says, hey, wait a minute. What am I doing anyway? In one side we have a tape playing, drinking coffee, the other side we have a telephone gossiping. And we do it because what happened? God didn't strike me dead. But remember, there's a long suffering that God will put so much out of it. Because somebody's dead and hasn't been stricken dead, remember, it's already following him on the other side. What are we seeing? Repentance is an activity of God that brings the soul to a unity with God. Am I right?
Yes.
It's the godly soul. It's what you hear in you says, now, was this exactly right? Oh, yes, I did it yesterday. You know what I mean? And nothing happens. You know, I'll do it again tomorrow. But remember, it says here, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Now the man deceives himself because God didn't strike me dead. Keeps on doing it. Keeps on doing it. Keeps on doing it. Brother David, what you try to say? I'm trying to say, let's go to clear everything between us and God and make sure we're ready for the rapture. Let's see that these little things sometimes that we think it's nothing, just go to the presence of God and you'll see the difference. You know, we do a lot of things, we say things. If I read what's in the scriptures, I'm saying only 2% of what I can preach. If I read it today, you'd be hating me. That would be the truth. But we can't take it. We can't take it because the spirit of repentance is not there. It's the spirit of argument. I argue. I'm right. They're wrong. I'm determined to know one thing, friend. Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
All the doctrines and all these things. I want to see one thing. A sinner finding Jesus and you can have it all.
Yeah.
A sinner to find Jesus and then you can have it all. Yeah. Argue about it as long as you want to. The phone rings constantly in the state. Hearts in the Greek. I just hang up on them. One time the boy person about the Greek, I just left the phone to talk. I did my work. Eventually I went, he hung up. And just did it. What are you going to do? Instead of searching for the godly soul to lead us to repentance, we want to prove something. To who? To God? We are nothing. What do we try to prove to God? That we know His Word?
God's mercy and grace brought us so far, friends. It's because of His grace I'm saved and you're saved. We got the lost out there. Children here need to find God. They're in the message, but they're not saved. I'm sorry to say these things, but it's true. And I found them to be just over some of the greatest kids. I want to eat with them. I want to sit with them. You know, I want to have a good time with them. But there's something, young kids, to make one step closer to Jesus. Listen, young people. Don't think because judgment is not executed speedily, you get by with it. Sooner or later, you're going to face it. Am I right? You know how many older people today are facing circumstances right before death? Is this forgiven? It's pretty silence, but it's true. That's why I say I care when you walk out of the doors instead of having you dancing in the spirit and feel good under sin. You don't know what it means to reach the deathbed and you say, is everything right between me and Jesus? If you can grasp one word, repentance, keep on going. Lord, thank you. Give me more. Let me have it, Jesus. I deserve everything. Let me have it. Forgive me for my mouth. Forgive me for saying this. And you know what? Never is restored brotherhood without repentance. Never. So now Solomon said this. He says, therefore, the heart of the sons of man is fully set in them to do evil. We do evil. Why? Because we are human beings that we don't see somebody be struck dead, everybody scared to death, let's do things right. And what happened? We take the prolonging because of the long suffering of God when you go home reading Peter, 1 Peter. The long suffering of God, might as well read it right now, might do good to us. 1 Peter 3:20. Listen to what it says here. Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing within few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The long suffering of God. Repent, tells them. Look at Noah. Who do you think you are? Mr. Nothing. You got a congregation of how many? 8? How many years? 10s of years. And you have only 8? Yes, that's what I got. The rest of them mock him. The people put a big choir and the robes and everything. Praise God and hallelujah and so on, going on and on. But Noah was preaching repentance and forgiveness. But they didn't listen. You know that? And the long suffering of God was going on and on and on and on. But let me go back to the first verse because I want to spend 3-4 minutes on baptism. In the book of Romans that we read a few minutes ago there, the book of Romans. By the way, if you write down the scriptures, I'm sorry that I don't give it. There was Ecclesiastes, the 8th chapter, 10 and 11, that I read about Solomon prolongs, you know, the judgment. In Romans, like you see now, we have something there, friends. The 2nd chapter and the 4th verse is, O despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance. Can you measure the goodness of God? You're a sinner and me a sinner, that He looks at you and He has long suffering to give you repentance. I love what Paul said in Romans. When we were yet sinners, He loved us. Can you measure the love of God? No. When you were in a bar drunk, God loved you. When you were in a mess, He loved you. And He said this. He says, Or despises thou the riches of the goodness and forbearance and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He says, He has done so much for you. When you were nothing but filthy, when you were nothing but a mess, He loved you. And you know what? We look around and says, I'm ready to go. Just the idea, you don't care for the lost, you're not ready to go. Did you ever think that? Nobody cares for anybody anymore. I go to church and I go home. Leave me alone. A man said to me one time, he says, listen, he says, I want to do something for the Lord. I'm not doing anything. I says, you come to the prayer meeting, pray for your lost son. Amen. And you got plenty to worry. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
We go to works, and we don't value what God is doing. To go to our knees and says, Lord, my daughter, my son, keep them, Lord. They go to a world of mess. We want to work. Solomon said, I kept my neighbor's vineyard and I forgot my own.
Amen.
We know everything about everything around, doctrines and everything. Where is Jesus about the whole thing?
Amen.
The people are fed up with that stuff. They had a belly full. I tell you what, friends, let the Holy Ghost deal with David Mamaly so the Spirit of God leads me to repentance and you can have it all. Why? Because you feel right away when that repentance takes place, you feel right in the bosom of Jesus. Says, Lord Jesus, I'm filthy. Just don't take me back. And then He takes you back and you don't even want to go back because you feel so filthy. You know that? That's how you feel. People say, Brother David, what you going to do? He says, any big revelations? I says, I haven't finished with Calvary yet.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
I haven't finished yet with Calvary. Paul had the same trouble. You know that? Paul says, I die daily. This which I want to do, I don't do. This which I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. He says, oh, wretched me, who shall deliver me? Right?
Amen.
He was fighting himself. He says, I got a problem. Who is that guy? That guy is the messenger to the Gentile people. Not just Ephesians, to the whole Gentile. Do you know that Brother Bam says, I preach every word that Paul preached? He's not another gospel, right? People think he said something to grasp up there. And look here, they go deeper into a mess, deeper into a mess. They try to analyze, break everything so much down. And they don't know what side is up and down anymore. And sooner or later, they bring their TV in the living room. And the backsliding starts. They do this. They do that. But listen now to what he says here. Despises the riches of his goodness. Friends, on the fourth verse, do you despise the goodness of God? Christ-like. We despise it so often, isn't it? Just study that verse. It says, Lord, you're long-suffering. When I was a sinner. I have a sister in the church. God saved her out of the streets. My Jesus is crying, my Jesus. A man came to me and says, What this woman is crying for? I says, she has something to cry about. What about you? Am I right? She has something to cry for to Jesus. What he has done for us. What about you? Oh, he said, he's in the message. Go on. And remember, I'm not saying the term message in the right way. I believe in the message. But I believe that message leads you to repentance instead of out of repentance. Do you know that? So now you are ready to be baptized. Something happens to you. And you know what happens to you? All of a sudden, you acknowledge that you were wrong. You acknowledge something happened to you. And all of a sudden, you see a change in you. And you say, I don't understand it. I said, don't try to figure it out. The only thing you know is that what you liked before, you don't like it right now.
Right?
That's a pretty good formula. You know, simplicity. What I used to do, I don't do it anymore. Not because I have to, but because I want to. I don't feel like it. The nature change. So I'm not doing what I used to do. So all of a sudden he says, you see this bunch of people here? The scripture says to be baptized. Baptized? What is that? A lady said to me one time, Brother Bram was preaching and I had about 18 people to baptize and I went over. Brother Sammy Johnson had a church in Wilmington, California. I said to him, how are you, sir? He says, good. And the Sunday school superintendent said to me now, he says, you come over and teach my Sunday school class Sunday morning for the adults and we'll give you the baptistry. I said, okay. So I went over and I taught their Sunday school class Sunday morning. I got the baptistry for Monday night. There were about 15 or 20 people, one in a wheelchair, and I baptized them. And Sammy Johnson says, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, Sammy. So I said to him, brother, I said, I don't have any money to give you, but I'll give you a tape. And I gave him Jezebel's religion. He came to the message. That's how it works. That's all I know. Right? But you know, there was something happens to me. And what I want to do today, I'm going to be baptized, I want to tell the rest of them what happened to me. That's what you're going to do. I'm going to go under the water. Under the water, what is that stuff? I said, I'm going to be baptized. What is baptized? Well, we'll go back and find the old word baptizo comes from the word baptoko, means I die by painting something like a garment, and the king used to sit there. And when his son used to take over, they called the whole village, take the white garment, and if it was the green color for the village, they used to dip that garment, and when it comes out, it was green, now stands in authority. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell the rest of them, when I go under the water, that I'm buried with Jesus. Yeah. That's beautiful, isn't it? I want to tell them out there what happened in my heart. I'm not just taking a bath. I'm just telling them what happened there. And he says, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to tell them that I read that scripture. Know ye not that as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? So he says, is that important, Brother David, in Romans 6:3 to do? Absolutely important, because I'm confessing it. I'm following the formula. I'm telling the people what God has done for me. And he says, what do you mean you buried with Jesus? I said, I don't worry after that. He said, why you don't worry about that? Because if we have been buried in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's all I know. Right? So the next guy comes around. He says, do you know about everything about the seals? No, sir. I know Jesus. There's nothing wrong to know all the seals. But if you don't know Jesus, you're gone. You're done. Correct?
Amen.
You know? Brother Bram said, at that day, God's going to look at the blood tag, you know, to make sure that you're okay. You have been washed by the blood of Jesus. You don't have to know your right and your left. Listen, anytime you feel a pressure to accept something, it's not God. That's a pretty simple, okie formula, because God doesn't force anything on anybody. Do you know that? When God showed me, revealed to me his word, and you know what? I just didn't feel any pressure. I just rejoiced. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, here it is, and it's there also. It's there also. It's there also. You know, and you go on and on and on, and you're happy in God. So now we're going to have a baptism service. Okay, is that all that I do? No, no. When you go to the baptism service, we're going to baptize you. And what are you going to say? We're going to say you were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What about in the name of the church? No, that doesn't work. You see, why it doesn't work? Because the Bible said so.
Amen.
So you read it there. You see, now, is that all the Bible says? No, said more things. What did the Bible say? You said, well, what the Bible said about baptism, there's something there that I want to read it to you. He says, being found in the fashion as a man, that's Christ, and humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what you testify. You're buried with Jesus. You died with him at Calvary. Am I right?
Yes.
You got saved. And he says, because you have done this, he says, wherefore God have also highly exalted him and give him a name which is above every other name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow. That's the name I want to be baptized. Amen. Correct?
Amen.
Because I did what he said. I went with him to Calvary. I went to die with him. And now he says, I'm going to be testify that I did that. And that Holy Ghost is going to come back to me and tell me, you are my son. And he says, don't worry after that. When the rapture comes, you go up there. How do I know when the rapture comes? Well, just keep on going. Don't have your business. God knows the time.
Amen.
The guy comes around and says, now listen, I know the revelation of the seals and so on. And if you figure this day and this year, I said, listen, the only thing I know, you don't know. He said to me, what? I can figure everything out. God says, no man knows the hour. If you know, it's not that time.
Amen.
That's simple. Somebody says it's going to be September 14th, 3 o'clock p.m. I says, that's a lie. How do you know September hasn't come in yet? Because Jesus says, no man knows. That's all. And he knows, that's not it. I take it simple. You see what I'm saying? And knock your way, Oklahoma, type mattress on the top of the car, keep on going. You know? So now the fellow is baptized. He says, praise God, I'm baptized into Jesus' name. A person said to me, do you understand the Godhead? I says, well, I appreciate the tape that came, but before that, I didn't know what to do. This fellow was going to baptize me. Then I said, I want to study my Bible. And when I was reading, I said, I run across the name of the Father. Father, I said, Father, Father. I went through my concordance. Father, Father, everything that's Father. I said, you have your father, the devil. I said, the devil has a title as a father. Am I right?
Amen.
And then I want all the son all the way down, the son of perdition. Wow. The devil has a title as a son. And Christ and Antichrist. Then I said, how do I know? The guy said to me, because you are baptized in the church. I says, forget that. Because Eve was in paradise when she messed it up. There's no better place than that. And that's why I use the name of Jesus, I said. Am I right? To say that I'm buried with him, I'm baptized, that's the, I acknowledge the office of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and I go on to be baptized.
Hallelujah.
The gospel is beautiful, you know that?
Amen.
The gospel is beautiful because, friends, listen, I can sit here and make your head spin. Do you know that? But what good will do when you walk through that door? I'd rather tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
Take it with you.
Amen.
Say, praise the Lord. This morning we read about Philippians 2. And you know what it says? Because he says, he came down, humbled himself, and so on. God gave him a name above every other name. He says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And I don't have it. The Lord Jesus helped me. That's the best way to do it, isn't it? We're rejoicing in the Lord, what God has done for us, friends. The little boy said to me, my time is up. I just steal the first page, little boy. But if you go home with Romans 2, the fourth verse, read also Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Romans 11, 22. I'm just giving you verses. And then Luke 19:42, and with this goes this, to the sinner it's given time of grace to repent so that he will be without excuse. That's my outline. I'm reading. It takes a second. Luke 19:42. If execution was pronounced after sentence, how many glorious manifestations of grace would have been lost? We wouldn't know what grace is. Am I right? Be wiped out. The scoffer asks, where is the promise of his coming? But the promise came and swept them away. 2 Peter 3, 3 to 6. Never interpret that God's patience is the proof that he thinks lightly of sin. We live only by grace. Amos 2, 13. I'm reading in my outline. Beware of the first taste of poison. The first taste of sin. Because you'll be repeating it over and over. You get familiar with it. You get addicted to sin. It's an addiction to sin. You know that? He that blushes not at his crime, but adds sinfulness to his shame, hath no instrument left to restore him to the hopes of mercy. I work this morning to just tell you about Jesus. Long suffering of God, 2 Peter 3:15. Not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9. I preach and then I read you my outline. The little boy says, close it up. Still there. Carry on, carry on, carry on. Am I right? I just love the Lord, you know. I have rather time like that to speak about Jesus. I can throw some things in Revelations 10, 1 through 6 that your head will just spin. Questions. But you know, I also respect what the prophet said. He wouldn't let us know. Do you know who said that?
Amen.
And you know what he said? Who said that? I'm going to find out. And fall deeper and deeper in the hole. You know, then we just say, oh, this is the, if you don't have it, you're gone. I said, give me Jesus and I got it all. Give me Jesus and I got it all.
Amen.
God bless you. I hope you got something through today, this morning. Repentance, cherish it, friend. If you feel a little bit there, praise God, that's the evidence that God is with me. Cultivate it. Work over. Don't let it die. Lord, keep on pressing. Keep on pressing. I can't do it. I don't have the strength to do it. I'm too proud. Kick me around, Lord, until I do it. He will. Right? Give me the strength to do it. He'll do it. Kick you around. Kick you around. God bless you. I love you. Tonight, probably I have to prepare something a little bit about communion. Remember me in prayer, friends.
Amen.
I need Jesus. You just don't know what to do sometimes, you know. You try to grasp the people. Seems to me you have to unchristianize them before they get saved anymore. Because they got so much in their minds that they lost the vision of Calvary. They just, it's not there for them anymore. And we'll have a sinner try to indoctrinate him. And the sinner says, I agree, I agree. He's looking for salvation. And we'll give him knowledge. He's looking for the blood of Jesus and we'll give him knowledge. And it doesn't work. Knowledge is beautiful because Hosea said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, God said to Israel, I have rejected thee. Do you know that? We cannot deny the word of God. We have to study to prove ourselves.
Amen.
But let's don't forget Calvary. Let's don't forget Pentecost. Let's don't forget these things. Brother Cyril, God bless you. 10 minutes still, 12 minutes still. I'm 2 minutes late, boy. Little boy. God bless you, Brother Cyril.